This is Expat Experts.
Welcome to this episode of Expats Experts, recording today again from Pragmarty in Athens. Today we are happy to have Gabriel here with us. Welcome.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me here. And it's an honor to be in the podcast and to tell something about the Expat. And I will be happy to share some stories about me. It would be nice to start this.
Cool. So just to put a little bit of context, Gabriel, it's originally from Brazil. Born in Brazil, although you grow up in Italy mainly, yes. An automotive designer, passionate about quite some sports. You are really into surf lately, as I am. Summer it's coming, so for us, so it's like surf it's kicking in. But I saw that you also did mountain bike, and you did like quite some sports in there, hiking, etc., etc.
Yes.
So about the automotive designer part, we will talk about it a little bit more in detail in the second part of the episode. But yeah. Just before starting with the expat part, just reminder to all the followers, as always, and listeners to follow us in social media, so mainly Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, if you still have Facebook, and then of course the most important part, it's following the channels of the podcast in Spotify and YouTube, where you can see it in video format. And if you want to support the podcast a little bit more deeper economically, then I would recommend to go to Podimo. Podimo is the platform that allows us to podcast creators to win money from the very first moment, instead of like needing to be a very, very big podcast before starting, or production before starting winning money. So if you want to collaborate a little bit more with economical aportation to this episode and this podcast, check Podimo and there you can find all the episodes and collaborate directly. With that said, let's go for it.
Yes,
sure.
I'm ready. Let's go.
The Expat, episode 4 with Gabriel Perino.
So, as I said, you are born in Brazil.
Correct, yes. Which Brazil, São Paulo.
São Paulo. But you moved out of Brazil when you were 3 years old?
Yes. I was pretty young then when actually moved from Brazil. And it was a nice reason that then I moved to Italy after Brazil. Because it happened to me that I got adopted from my Italian family. And this is nice that because I then, let's say, grew up in Italy, let's say, as a first language, I learned Italian first. And I have few back reminds in Brazil, from Brazil when I was there, and it was pretty like just 3 years. It's really like short time.
Yeah.
And I moved with my brother and sister, like both of them also Brazilian and Italian, because we actually got adopted all together. And this is nice because then we are all together in my family in Italy, and we kept like, you know, a bit like some relation there that people we know in the place we got adopted in Sao Paulo,
which is a big city. In an orphanage in Sao Paulo?
Yeah, in there. And actually, Sao Paulo is a really big metropolis. Yes. And it's actually, I went back there after when I grew up a bit, and we did like a trip there in Sao Paulo, in Brazil in general. And Sao Paulo, yeah, it's really, really big city. And you actually compare to some Italian city that you get Milano or like Torino, which is the closer city where I'm living in. I lived in Italy before. And I'm pretty impressed, because then when you move, when you are little and you don't have many like reminds, and you have go back to get the culture, and it's slowly you discover back from the origin, which is nice, and the language as well. And
I mean, especially with 3 years old, it's like you are very small. Like,
yes, actually, as well, my brother and my sister were young, like 2 years more, my brother 5, and 1 year my sister. So, all of
5,
us
4, really, and 3 years old. Like, and the family from Italy adopted the three of you.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all together.
That's really nice. Cool.
And that's just cool that also we started with growing up in Italy, and speaking Italian first, and then of course English at school, Portuguese later. It's kind of like in the process,
you know? Both of three of you are speaking Portuguese?
No, not yet, because then to me was the interest to get like close from the language and the culture, because when you move, actually, also even you get adopted from Brazil, you can decide. Parents can keep the nationality, so the passport, yes.
Oh, really?
You can allow to have two, Italy and Brazil. So when you go in the embassy to doing the all the papers and passport things, it's better if you
know Portuguese.
And also, there's many Brazilian in Italy and all around the world, so it's good when actually you can get in touch with them and speak a bit like Portuguese, and you feel, okay, there's something that I'm discovering. And of course, then you can vote for the president, because having the nationalities there, you are citizens also, so it's important to
as the Italian situation politically wasn't complicated, let's put the Brazilian one on top of it.
You have the plan B, you see there, you have the plan B, because maybe okay, Brazil, why not?
Very, so. very good countries to choose for getting to vote. Actually, like, that's our funny neighbor over there, like, she's Brazilian French.
We should put you in contact, like,
amazing.
She was born in Brazil and then she moved to France and everything, but also like with pretty young. Hopefully I will get to interview her at some point, also for the, she has a very interesting life. Unfortunately, it looks like it's a tendency to have injuries in your knee. She's also with a recent surgery also in the knee and everything. So, at the end, you arrived to Italy with your family of adoption. Italian family?
Yes. Italy, from a small village close to Torino. It's far, like 60 kilometers from Torino, which is the big city in the region. And yeah, I grew up there. So it was kind of a small village and about 1,000 of citizens. And but it's actually, it was like pretty interesting that we were, I grew up in the mountains, because thinking about the position of the town is close to the mountains in north of
so
Italy.
It's north of Turin?
North of Turin, yes. And of course, you have the mountains really close, like 30 minutes, half an hour, you are in the mountains already. So it's pretty accessible, the mountains, like ski and winter scenario. It's really interesting there.
I think for everyone who doesn't locate Torino in the map of Italy, it's the very, like, the region. Or Torino is the capital. It's the very top left corner of Italy, border with France, where all the Alp and cool ski stations are. Like, if you're sharing the cold region,
correct,
which is something that most of the people doesn't think about when they think about Italy. It's in general, like, the north, it can be cold because there is a lot of mountains. I love Torino. It's one of my favorite cities. I was, as a kid, I don't know, now the Italians will kill me because the majority of them don't like it, but I don't know why I got an obsession with Juventus, with the team. And then I was a kid, like, I think the first time that I went to Italy was to Torino to go to Delle Alpi, when it was the stadium of Delle Alpi still, like, playing the Juve there and not to the Stadio Olimpico. So,
good that you know Torino. I mean, actually, of course, it divided, talking about football,
Torino, Juventus, it's always the big conflict in the city. So how is it, like, how it was like growing up in Italy, being like, because at the end you have a double nationality, you have Brazilian, half Italy. Were there a lot of immigrant people in your town, or like, because when you get adopted, normally if you go to a very small town, then it doesn't mean always that you are like in a big city or metropolis. So
That's actually, it was, okay, when you're little, actually, you have not so many reminds, but it was nice for all of us, my brother, my sister. And of course, growing up in a small city, sometimes like, okay, maybe we're the only Brazilian there in the beginning. But then, of course, there were others, like friends of mine also, they got adopted. That you got to create also a small community that, you know, for us, we was always been told like that we got adopted, and of course we have also some other origins. But in the end, you grew up in Italy, and you the first it's like being like more Italian.
You
than,
feel more Italian
than the other culture. But then it's always a chance that you say, okay, also Brazilian. Let's use this that it's good for the culture and to know more about my origins. And then of course like when you like grow up and move to other cities, because a small village of course you do the elementary school and then you have to move in a bigger city
for the high school
and also work. Then
you went to high school in Torino, right?
No, it's still in a bigger city close nearby, and then for University Torino for sure. Torino because I have more opportunities and let's say I taste a bit of the big city. Then Torino, it's you know more than a million now citizen, and I got okay. Now you jump into
still like when city. You say a million, you're like when you talk to a Greek or a Brazilian and you say yeah, Torino is more like a big city, 1 million person, and they are looking like no, that's a town. Like
sure, so you compare it to Brazilian cities.
Yes, like, of course. I'm here, like Athens. It's like.
Also, yeah, here
Athens is like what 7-8 times Torino, size wise. But that's actually that's one of the things that I like from Italy also, that the size of the cities don't over escalate too much. That I mean, yes, there is Milan, there is Rome, there is Napoli that goes bigger, but this is the three cities that they are in there that goes so big. Even Rome, it's not, I mean, yes, it's enormous, but if you compare it to other cities in the world, still small. Like, and then the rest of regions, like the capitals of the regions of Italy, they are still very small cities. Like,
yeah, if you could compare, yes, actually, maybe there's many. I saw like small town spread in the north, especially. You maybe pass through a lot of small towns, small like villages, actually. And if you like see maybe other countries, maybe they are more like bigger town nearby
connected,
actually connected.
No.
Here in Italy, okay, there are like a lot of small town, maybe have like also 1,000 citizens or like 100 citizens or 500 citizens, really small sometimes, going up to the main cities like Torino and all the like other main one in Piemonte. Yes, actually. Yeah, I get used to the cold weather, of course, in the north of Italy, so snow. In the winter, it's really cold.
Rain, Torino, yes. for some months.
True.
Yeah, unfortunately, the situation with politically wise, especially now, and Italy, let's say, it's not the most respectful, anti-racist country right now in Europe. Unfortunately, have you ever like had problems with that? Back in home,
sometimes maybe also while I grew up, maybe when you're little, it's kind of like, maybe you don't feel it much that it's, I got the same possibility to other people, you know, like even like not, with different like nationalities or like other countries. Sometimes maybe it's a bit have to be a more advanced mentality now, I hope, in, you know, getting better. For the thing that maybe in the if you see in the public administration to see more like also like people that they are maybe more international, let's say Italians as well, because the thing is I have many friends here in Italy for the papers and the bureaucratic things, especially as a foreigner, it's the process is really long, and maybe you were born in Italy from like a foreigner
family
parents and you still have to wait in the and maybe don't get the documents easily. Like
it doesn't
even
make
if you
it
did
easy,
the school,
you know, like,
and if you, I have many friends that maybe they have to wait like after like having a majority, like 18 years old, to apply for having the nationality, like Italian, and then after that the process to ask, and then and after you have to wait a bit.
So you feel more like an institutional kind of racism, or like. Not racism, but maybe like more complicated life due to the fact of being from somewhere else.
Yeah.
From an institution perspective than
from, I don't know, like having comments in the street or being people being assholes to you?
Yeah, I think maybe the comments sometimes like is really, let's say sometimes in the culture that it's a bit more funny wise. Mm. But in the bureaucracy,
funny for them, no?
Yeah. Maybe you grow up, which is sometimes not, I don't see the maybe a really barrier, let's say, you know. Mm. But the barrier I see in the bureaucracy, that's the system of also the human rights. Actually, it's have to be more faster the process of that for okay. get like having the faster the paper, because also sometimes the barrier is that, okay, you want to work in a job in Italy and maybe you have to wait for the Italian papers.
Perfect.
And you study, or maybe was born in Italy, just
because you've been 20 years in Italy and yeah. you still have no papers, still, even if you were born there. Makes no
there's
forget.
A barrier for the all the thing that, okay, let's do something else, and a bit struggling, but I see that, okay, hopefully it will get faster, let's see, but I'm, you know, I
wouldn't count with Meloni doing too much into that direction, no, like
I see the interests are different, but I fight for that because every time we discuss with my friend, and I'm like really like sad for that, because you know, it could be like faster and also different process into also integration. You're already integrated, but then in the paper way is like different. And
it doesn't matter if you're really integrated, if then you cannot get a job because of a fucking stupid paper, even if you have lived all your life.
Yeah.
Well, maybe switching to a little bit more like happy topics, like say like this. So at the end, you just like, you did all the studies in Italy. So you did like high school, you did university also in Torino.
Yeah.
You studied automotive design already?
Yeah, automotive
in there?
Design in Torino.
What a surprise in Torino, no? And the Fiat doesn't influence a lot in there, no?
Not at all. actually, since you grow up, Torino is a pretty industrial city also. You have automotive, like a big, you know, center for that. And I've been passionate about cars since when, like almost all kids, they're saying that. Yeah. Okay, I see cars. Since when I was little, I like cars. But yeah, to me, it was even interesting to design things, let's say, even when I was in high school. So like, I did like architecture background, like
okay.
I was in high school, like actually architecture and furniture design, like
okay.
as a subject.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I like the part of designing, you know, like I say, okay, cool. And I saw that university, they present themselves for the Unichoose University, and I saw that it was possible to design cars. Like you have product design and design. They come and say, "Hey, is that a thing you can do?"
Yeah.
Like it's pretty interesting. Let's say that is.
I think it happens similar in Barcelona with having like Seat in Martorell, really close by the big factory, and it's mainly where the whole design of the cars happen. I think in Torino it happens the same with Fiat at the end, and then just like they're really pushing for the schools of design and the universities of design to produce people who I have a good friend who's working with the Cupra team, for example, designing.
Ah, yes,
it's at the end Seat designs, and it is interesting because I can really relate studying design in Barcelona, product design, and the people like inside of the university. It was always something related, you know, like there was a module of like automotive design because there was the industry around it to always end in there. So you finished the university in Italy or did you? When did you came to Greece? When is the moment that you come here?
Well, yeah, actually, finishing the study in Italy.
Yeah.
I worked in Italy a bit, 4 years, in a company there in Italy, doing design like internationally, and so as after this experience of 4 years, you know, also internship in between. In the field, actually in the previous company, we were doing also not just cars, but also vehicles and others like transportation design, like bicycle yacht. And also I got a bit of like experience on that. And then I decided, okay, I see that where I'm working now is pretty international. You know, I have colleagues from all around Europe and the world. And I say, They actually moved in Italy for working. Mm-hmm. And I say, interesting. I've been here in Italy always, and I didn't do my, let's say, Erasmus or like experience outside from Italy. Just traveling, okay. But when you go to live in
it's different, country, yeah.
Different, right? And I say, okay, this motivates me first to say, okay, I want us to go and do an experience outside, you know, like in different countries, and get this knowledge and also get better, of course, like in the career. Because I see while you move in another country, you also, you know, have to adapt, and also for the job, mm-hmm. as well, because you will have new colleagues. And this to me was important, that seeing them, like my colleagues did, that motivates me to say, I mean, to see that it could be also a good opportunity for me as well for the career, and even get more knowledge. I looking for some job outside from Italy. And
okay. So it was purely your decision, like it was not a company coming to you saying, hey, we have a job, would you be interested? It was more like from your side saying, okay, I want some new experience. I want to move somewhere.
Yeah, it's my side. And then also, let's say also you had the contract that was finishing, I said, okay, I got this chance also to say, maybe it's good.
Like the perfect moment.
I don't
moment,
stay there. No? And perfect moment also to say, let's also try it, because if I maybe do it now, not stay in Italy, it would be a good opportunity now to do it. So, and especially because it was the COVID in the middle. So what's the best moment to move abroad in that time?
In the middle of COVID, no?
In the middle of the COVID.
That's the perfect timing, yeah, sure.
And so I think we managed also with the restriction as well.
So you moved during COVID?
Was in the last, after the vaccine thing, it was actually in the end. That was everything open again for traveling.
Okay. How long have you been in Athens now?
2021.
21.
21, yes. 21 and January 2022, sorry, like 22, yeah, 2022, okay. February, like, yeah,
right.
And
we arrived in
August
2021.
Ah, okay, a bit more, yeah, a bit earlier, yeah,
2021, and that was the. It was already like okay to be able to travel and to move I think that we skipped the last quarantine for a couple of months or something like this in here in Greece. Cool, like so. Why Greece?
That's actually interesting. Everybody asks me also here, like my friends from Athens and. Actually pretty easy now that you can look in for jobs in internet, and you got offer in internet as well, and you can see worldwide where all the other job offer in Europe in general. I wanted to stay in Europe, let's say, and of course for design job, Italy, Germany, North Europe also, they have already a lot of like design cultures and also places to work and industries of automotive, let's say also in the UK as well. And this was interesting because here in Athens, in Greece, I didn't expect that. It's like we are a design studio, so we do actually design. Mm. And I was not expecting
That's why I was asking, there is no brand of car, or there is no industry of production of cars here at all.
Exactly.
Actually, the second market of cars, for example, here, it's super expensive.
Yeah.
The cars are, they are expensive in this country, much more than in other countries in Europe because of that reason. They need to import all the cars and that makes it super expensive.
True, it's correct, because also they actually, I'm designing here not for like a Greek brand, because also they don't have like in Italy or in like also Spain, like Barcelona, like Seat or Fiat. And so here they actually, it's merged like from Chinese and European, like Greek company. Mm-hmm. And most of the pieces and the parts now you're designing in China, and this company has like the production in China. So here we are the European center that we then doing the design work and collaborate with the engineer in China, and then following the works, and the production is there for the Asian market. mostly. And that was interesting because I say, okay, it's an opportunity because maybe I've been here in 2018 for vacation in Athens, and I saw a bit of the city, and I say, okay, that's really interesting place that you feel like not far away from Italy sometimes.
Yeah, still
like,
Mediterranean.
Okay, Mediterranean weather, and I say,
no snow,
of course.
But then snow one weekend per year normally, but once
sometimes, yeah. And I say, okay, let's start this adventure because I think it could be interesting to go in a place that I don't know much, but then it's interesting because it's new, it's different from other like a country in the north of Europe. Let's go and and see.
Very different from the rest of European countries.
Then of course when also you move for even like get better and better you go because the position of job and things, so also this is also another reason that you move. So it's good opportunity that I'm not so far from home, let's say. Also awesome. It's like 2 hours of flight, Milano, like it's close enough. And
cool.
I jump into this adventure now, and I'm happy for that.
So you applied from Italy, they give you a job, and then you came after securing a job in Athens.
Yeah, I got an offer, yes, like also the other companies where I applied, yes. Like as a first like step that, okay, we got
the offer. Were you throwing curriculums to multiple countries, or you were focusing mainly in Greece?
No, multiple in Europe, like of course in the main places, like in the north of Europe, central Europe. And this is also in Greece. And they were actually the first, like also they contact me. And they were really nice and I met the team also. And it was pretty also cool that fast also for the moment. Then I say, okay, I also they told me, oh, you can come here to see how was the place, if you like it also. Also, it's interesting that company, they provide this thing that you can also first see the place.
Do the first step. Yeah.
For the first step. Mm. And but yeah, I'm happy I will do that for again because I'm learning a lot of stuff now, like for also the job in production design. Also, it's something that I didn't, I was not doing like a lot before. It was more styling design. Mm. Here is more technical and design as well. So I got more skills for that and to knowledge for the part, the pieces of the car, vehicles in general. Mm. So cool. Every day I'm
learning
yeah, new stuff. Nice. Yeah.
What about private life? Like, did it make a big change in the sense like you were coming from a place that you call a home with you probably your friends, your family, a circle of like more or less close people, and to an adventure to a city that you don't know at all? Like, of course, you would have like the professional side of it secured, which is a big step, and it's really nice. But how was arriving to a new country without friends in there, without anyone?
Yeah, literally, I have to say here, I had no, let's say, connection because compared to other countries, like Germany, like in like Scandinavia, also
you could pull some friends. No, yeah,
and
yeah.
If I go there, I know, like maybe okay, in some capital city, there's someone maybe of ex-colleagues or friends that I met during my life here, like absolutely no one. And I was okay, let's see. But okay, first time I arrived, you got like really easily in, let's say, integrated, even because they're really welcoming in general. And the step, it's really different on the let's say the environment here. Let's say we have, there's a sea here close. And mountains, like I didn't know, but like you can go in the mountains as well. They are close. Mm. And that's to me was maybe the change of the lifestyle because I can go like maybe after work, we can go to the beach or go in the mountains in the weekend, do like trips around highlands. Like you can go in the highlands in the weekend, right? So you can
take well, depending on where you will try to go. Yeah, if you want to go to Corfu, then it's
no.
You will go to the boat, go back with the boat. Yeah. 1 minute in Corfu.
It's a long journey, but yeah, some islands. Like, of course, the sea is pretty accessible. Like to go in like in the at the beach, and I have to say it's a bit more like let's say more relaxed compared to Torino. Mm. That I have to say, sometimes maybe there's less option. Maybe when you go out in the evening, just in the number of bars, but you can enjoy as well. But here, I mean,
in Torino, there is less option.
Less option when you go out with a friend.
You're comparing a 7 million people city to a 1 million one. So at the end, it goes back to the same, no? But
except with numbers. But here, okay.
And cold winters.
And cold winters, yes, that's true. And maybe you'll stay more in the winter
at home,
going places.
More the German style. Yeah.
True. And this is maybe the big change. And also with the friends, let's say, I made new friends also here. And the thing, it's a place here that a lot of people traveling here because, you know, Greece for the islands. And every time there's someone visiting me, and it looks like I'm not that far away enough.
But you're also you have, because I met some of your friends, you have a pretty international group, quite some Greeks inside of it also, a mixture of people. How did that happen? Like, how do you meet all these people?
Well, with the whole two colleagues, we go out, and then we're also doing activities, let's say. And because also when you go out here, you can easily meet some friends of people like that you get in touch, maybe in the evening, and then you keep in touch. And of course, with the sport as well. Let's say, because doing mountain bike, surf, you got a circle, let's say, of friends there. But the thing, you go out especially in the summer, because you have really nice weather and you go in the bars outside and you meet a lot of people like this, really let's say easy to exchange some conversation, you know. And maybe it's me that I like to
talk
and like to meet people also. And then of course it's a big network, because also you feel that sometimes it's happened that you met some friends that they know another friend that you know already. It's kind of like a small town, but a big city.
Internationally, yes, definitely.
Also internationally.
I mean, Athens at the end, the international circle, it's rather small.
Yeah.
I mean, there is people who has been here for very long time, in the sense of people who has 20 years in Athens, and then they don't enter this new standard group of people who tries to make friends, etc. But it's really common. When we were talking about the previous episodes, I said, Tassos, and you were Tassos is the guy who does documentaries. And that's the most common thing. Like, when you say a name and they are that's the guy who is whatever. And there is always someone that, even if it's not from your circle, you know some. There is always some kind of connection. We do improv together. And just to put the context a little bit, improv theater, I think that is a pretty new group. It's 2 months that we've been doing, a little bit more than that. Improv every week at the end.
Yeah, that's the way we met also. And I met also other international friends. And that's nice, yeah.
And that opened a little bit but at the first time that you arrived here, did you sign up for example for some activities, in the sense the same way that you did for improv, or we did for improv theater, did you go to a hiking group whatever?
Actually, in the beginning, the first 6 months, maybe I was a bit more discovering the city. And then one thing was really interesting, that let's say I was I had a friend that internationally in Italy also told me, but you go there, you can also apply in the there's some chat of Erasmus people. They say they are international. I say, I'm not Erasmus, but let's see, maybe there are other international, to meet international people first. And then we end up to, meeting Erasmus people. They have maybe already Greek friends. And then, Erasmus is 6 months program every time. So many of them left, but you keep in touch with people living here. And also some of them in the group, they were not Erasmus, or Facebook group as well, so that you maybe have expat as well. And there you of course also can set up for go out all together, and for drinking outside, and also for activities as well, hiking groups and this. But that was later the activity in the sport, because I saw before I was the place to say, maybe bicycle, why not? Bicycle in Athens.
Bicycle in Athens, yeah, that's That's a risk sport, yeah, that's for sure. Like extreme sport. If you want to die, yes, just go for it.
Yeah, it is.
When I see these guys with the Seaways, like the one wheel thing in between the traffic in Athens, I'm just like, it's just like, who is paying for the funeral of this guy? Like, nice. And maybe one last question, open question before I try to do one of these or that questions that I always do. Are you planning to stay here longer? You have any plans set up or?
Well, no plans, but yeah, I will stay. I stay here now. And every time, you know, I see that I've grown up, of course, and that's positive, you know, because I see every time I do something new, and even in the job and also in the other activities I do. And I still have a lot of stuff to discover here in Greece, I think, because now every time there's something new that I didn't like see yet, or in general, you know. And yeah, even I finished into learning Greek, which is a really complicated language. And
you're studying?
How
are you doing it with it? Like private lessons?
Yeah, 1 hour. I was going to school as well, but actually it's 1 hour a week I do it now. And it's helpful, but also having friends here that you talk with them, also it helps for everyday talk with them. In Greek, especially Greek is like a different alphabet.
Different, you know, it's a difficult language.
Yeah. We speak sometimes with you, and you know also well, like actually good, you know, actually.
Well, hopefully, I don't know. Good enough. It's one of these languages that I'm never sure if I'm using the correct word or not, but yeah, sure.
But yeah, I'll just say my plans, yes, to stay here and do experience, because also I see that in the work, gain more experience as well. It's good, you know, for, and then yeah, I'm amazed for this place that sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm kind of feel also home, that it's not like a huge, huge city, but it's quiet, let's say, and somehow you can decide, okay, today you go somewhere in some neighbor that I never been, or you go at the beach, you go in the mountains. Of course, if it's close enough for you to go, but it's also, you can just walk in the city and see something happening, events as well. Because, you know, moving from a smaller town, like city,
feels
to me like, oh, like, you know.
A lot of opportunities.
A lot of opportunities, yes. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah, that's... After discovering surf also, I say, okay, that's...
Although the waves of Greece might not be the biggest ones in the world, that's for sure.
Yeah, not like Nazaré, but close enough. You know, yeah, Nazaré, sure. In Portugal, you know, actually.
Sure, sure, yes, of course.
The biggest wave in Europe, like in Nazaré, Portugal.
Yeah, like here. Brazilian waves also.
But yeah,
I think it might be a good place to start here, no? Like as a beginner in surf, like it might be helpful to maybe not surf, but like windsurf and all of this in Marathona, as there is a lot in this
Most of here, like the Greece here, like better for windsurf and kitesurf, like in Italy. Surf, it's good for start, of course. You can have some days with bigger wave, but it's still like for learning, it's ideal, because not being the ocean that is like really strong. Here is like a more Mediterranean, and the current is good enough for having like good size wave to learn. And yeah, you enjoy it actually. I mean, even the most, the golf surf is like to have fun in the end. Yeah. So you like... whatever the waves use, but you know, to get better and better to then go to other places to surf,
of course,
like around.
Makes sense. So maybe to close this first part of of the expat, of your experience, I always do this kind of like this or that questions, which is a little bit like, okay, trying to put you in an edge of decision, let's say like this. Sure. So Greek or Italian food?
This is tricky.
That's the objective of this question.
But yeah, to say Italy. I will also say the why. Italy, there's a lot of maybe different variation, let's say. I like here as well, but Italy, okay, maybe more region has their own specialities from north to south. So, okay, I have to say
it's a lot more repetitive. No? Like, menus looks really similar.
I really like though here because it's even also there's some influence from other cuisine, not just Mediterranean. But I go for the Italian food.
Makes sense. Without switching to from the kitchen, let's say like this, Italian or Greek olive oil?
Olive oil, okay. Olive oil, Greek. I have to
Greek?
Say Greek.
Yeah.
Yes. I tried also a friend of mine. Like, they also produce in it, and sometimes we have like really handmade, like let's say handmade, like homemade one that give it to you, and it tastes like okay, that's really really good taste, and you say like it's really you know like from the here, no, from Greece. It's that's nice.
Cool. Speaking Portuguese or Italian when flirting?
Depends. Depends. Because depends on the situation. Sometimes it could be like more, let's say, exotic to have some, okay.
Brazilian Portuguese.
Say something Brazilian. But okay, my accent in Brazilian Portuguese is like a bit Italianish. But I'm working on it, of course. Like, Italian, I think, my flagship goal, like, Italian, let's go for flirting, of course. Now a little bit of Greek in the middle.
Whether in Torino or whether in Athens?
Athens, yeah. Let's go, yeah. Athens, you have still also winter here, it's cold, but not super cold, and summer
very long summer, very long hot summer.
Like t-shirt,
yeah. Makes sense. Okay, let's do the last one, because we before we close this first section. Italian or Greek grandmas?
Well, I see some similarities, you know, with the grandmas also. Meeting some friends' grandmas as well, that you go for lunch. I have to say, if I choose one, maybe the Italians, because you make pasta together sometimes, you know, you like making food. But
it also goes back to the food.
Yeah, you see, it's a food-wise. I think, Italian grandmas that maybe pass more time, of course. Like,
makes sense. Cool. Then, if it's okay for you, we will jump to the second part. Go in a little bit more into the automotive design part of your life. Let's say like this.
Okay. Yes. Yeah? I'm ready.
Sounds good.
The expert automotive design.
Let's do the second part of the episode. We're talking about automotive design. As I said in the introduction, you are like a automotive designer by studies and also by profession at the end. Like, you work in Italy in the field, but also now here in Greece. How did it came the passion for automotive and for the whole cars industry, whatever? Like,
well, in Italy I study automotive design. The passion came from since when I was little. That was a funny part when I was in Brazil. Like, I was 3 years old, and I was not speaking like Portuguese properly, because you know, we are 3 years old. You're like, maybe yeah, a little bit. But the main things I was saying, let's say, were pointing vehicles. You know, like Fusquinho, which is like the Volkswagen Beetles. It was really common at the time in Brazil. I was saying like this vehicle, like Fusquinho, and
Why this obsession with Volkswagen?
Like all the vehicles, like Avion, like which is the plane, the plane,
yeah.
And like the fireman truck, and it was like okay, I think I was like in interest like into that. I was like attracted to that. But the real passion, I think, it arrived later when in the elementary school we went for a Formula One challenge, like competition there. Was in Italy, in Monza.
Monza.
And it was my first time ever to see like this kind of events, and it was amazing. Like you are there with cars going super fast, and the sound when you are inside the arena, it's crazy. And I started there to also drawing some cars, like when I was little, and building some little vehicles, like with cardboards, whatever I found in the house. I was building some stuff, like some vehicles, like for like a reproduction of Formula One, and also like small cars. And that to me was really, I started to get some creativity in my mind to build stuff, and even like drawing cars, like vehicles and stuff. So it's come from that age, that from elementary school. But then I never like in the beginning see myself doing that, because I didn't maybe know the what this word was about, to design cars. And
this even exists, like, or
it,
like
it was actually, yeah, I was pretty young, and then maybe it turns when I, after the high school, after my high school, that was focused on architecture and arts and furniture design, the university from Torino, the city, I mean, actually close to me, they present their self in the high school. And I knew this university after this presentation, and I understand that it's possible to design vehicles, like cars, like it's a job, like you can do. And I applied for this university that you, of design school. Like,
so it was the university coming to your high school to present very specific, like it's a university that specializes into design of automotive design, or like, because generically you come from product design, like from a global way, and then you do a master afterwards or something like that, that goes more into the specialization of automotive. In your case, you were doing like directly automotive design in as a degree.
Yeah, straightforward to automotive, because yeah, also to me, when I saw this school, the path you I was supposed to do, like maybe after this high school, was maybe focus on architecture and product design, and then after maybe that, maybe a 3 years bachelor of architecture or something, to then maybe master, specialize on a master in that. And but I saw this university was offering the immediately like to do like the bachelor on automotive and vehicles, and I was okay, that's interesting, because to me it feels like more interesting for me now to start with this. I think I will do that, and I applied for the school, and I'm happy that this university offered me the opportunity to like focusing like in the automotive industry.
And, so it was purely and uniquely like automotive design degree, like directly focused into that. 3-4 years
Yes, yeah, so 3 years bachelor. Yes, and after that you also you got some internship in the middle in the industry. They guide you also maybe cars, motorcycle, like vehicles in general. So and there started my experience to even inside this world of like design of the field of automotive. And I'm passionate about it, because then coming from also a bit of like art, and you got a bit of architecture in the background, but just like from high school, you know, and you have the process of creating and in also a building, you know, you start from the base and then you go build the whole thing. And in the car, automotive, it's also a process that you start from an idea also, and you build everything then in the process, step by step, arriving to the product in the end.
What is the process, like what is the standard process in your mind in automotive, not in the whole industry of course, like the production, but the design part, what will it would be like the process that you follow in there, like standard?
A standard, yeah. The process is, yeah, like starting from the idea. We do like hand sketching or like digital. Now we have a lot of tools to use for digital 3D as well. And but it's always come from needs for the customer, of someone needs a product, you know. And so you you starting to research and do like providing some ideas that match also the needs of the customer and the people in the world need the product and to facilitate and get easier life for people because design also is that to design stuff that also helps to get a better life for people and in the industry merge with automotive also so in from an idea in sketching an idea on paper digital idea transfer and transform this idea into reality then through software and with prototype early prototype and then to the production so it's really like a path process
step by step
you know like and it's difficult though because you imagine to okay you do like a sketch on the paper and then you have to then thinking about this product in the reality it's this sketch will be shaped like on the process and become like something then work in the real life have to
how limiting is it like in the sense of like because of course creativity can go really crazy so you could shape like a car like a donut and nothing will happen at the end like you are the design part of the process but I suppose there is then an engineering team that it's limiting you on how things can be done there is a whole like AU like regulations that you are you need to have in consideration how do you work with that like you know that in advance or it's really a back and forward of a push for something to get it done like in a certain way
yeah it's like a back and forth and also it's important if especially it's a product for the market it's important to support like and having like a street contact with engineers because we don't have to forget about everything we have it's okay like some cool shapes but also it have to be design function this is have to be functional so and this design in general because you have you create something that is function is beauty and it's like for the market so it's important to have this back and forth with engineers because you will realize what are your limits are sometimes you have maybe before the requirements or the guidelines to follow sometimes you work together with engineers and you optimize the process to having better engineer better design also to optimize on the design as well and this has allowed you to reach the limits that you might be sometimes over design and is like something futuristic but have to work in the end we because in the end is a product on the street and we have to face into the material the way to construct which is our going together in the same direction like
where is the limit of your work then like until where do you arrive? You arrive to the selection of materials? Do you arrive to the selection of like shape, form, how it should look like? Do you arrive to the engineering part? Do you do the testing, like, I don't know, like the more technical part yourself? Or it's purely a design, like, okay, this should be looking like this. But are you choosing the materials yourself, for example? Like,
it's most of the time, we also provide proposal in the material which is
samples
samples for the materials that first when we froze the design you have there which is the shapes and the product and then the big role the materials the colors the finishing like CMF it's important so we provide also some research on that and trends that you also provide for the customer and the company I work so it's important to have also like a bit of something inspiration and also research in the market because marketing is important to see what the customer needs and the kind of material you put of course that in also with the techniques of production it makes a difference but also the color and the CMF the color and material it's important for then see what's the position of this product in the market and what you selling this product to and it's important for a designer to be complete to have also these capabilities to know okay we choose this material and this color for a reason so and is sometimes in the research, in the marketing, and also in the trends of the in market you have. And this also is a part that we arrive until there. Then, of course, the rest is engineering and also the testing and more engineering. But of course, it make also a work together, like simultaneously for the design and the.
So it's a back and forward.
Back and forth, the solution for having to try to having the best products in the market and something that it's it work, even functionality.
You were saying before, like that in Italy, like you were entering like a kind of an internship, and then they were like switching between, like starting with probably automotive like part, but then switching to more like a transport thingy that you were doing, even yachts or like bicycles and then this kind of things. How was that? Like how did that happen? Because I suppose like designing a car and designing a bicycle has nothing to do with one to the other. So how did?
Yeah, correct. That's I started, of course, like in a, was automotive company, which is was 6 months of internship, and yeah, the company was I was working in Italy is Pininfarina that do like Italian design for different customers all around the world, and yeah, started there as design of automotive, like in the internship. And yeah, after the 6 months, I had the opportunity to switch into the other department, which is the same company as a name. And but the other department, they were doing everything like out from automotive, like product design, transportation design, so bicycle and yacht design. And even like there were a team, there is a team of architecture as well. So everything is out from automotive, but related to design. It was in this other studio like that I worked to, into, and the same name. So it was good to me for seeing other realities and get experience also to other products, which is not cars, but related, you know, the process sometimes. Could be similar, but not so, because you know, bicycle, do a bicycle and a car, you have a different
electronics
stuff, the engineering is different, or even like there's like you got, you know, you have like something
that's going a completely different approach, no? Water, like. Floatability, fluid engineering, like all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's yeah, really, and you get knowledge for that, because of course it's always a challenge. You say, okay, never maybe it's tried this before, but okay, you in the end design this stuff for also knowing better and get the approach there as well, like because it's design in general, and it's interesting because every time is a new like adventure and a new project, and you also get used to having more like this approach. And after that, the design team in the end it switched to be a bigger studio, design studio. We were all together with automotive and the other department, so it was nice to do like sometimes some cars, some interiors, and also the other parts of the design. It was nice. Yeah,
and here like in Greece, like you went back to purely automotive, like purely car design at some point, no? As far as I understood, like you're not designing bikes anymore or whatever, like after that experience in there, which was helpful for you to like provide other perspectives in the whole industry. You came here to Greece to this company, which is Asian based, but then they have this department of design here in, and they are, you are like the kind of bridge between the Asian and the European market somehow, or like how is the current situation in here? Like,
yeah, it's actually Asian based company, and there's European center here, and we're designing from Athens, like here in Greece, to for the Asian market. So it's the company focuses on commercial vehicles, like automotive, because it's in the, you know, like trucks, agriculture vehicles, bigger, small trucks, and three wheelers, and yeah. So this it's more focused on automotive, but of course I have the diversity because you switch through through between project, like they are like agriculture like project or more like automotive, they are maybe trucks and smaller two-wheelers, and the process is like the automotive one. And yeah, the thing we are here in Athens and doing the bridge like between Asia and Europe is that also we are now designing vehicles for Asia market, but also in Europe we have a different like let's say for the also the market is different, so we have to design for the European market some vehicles. It's makes a bit different for the rules for European vehicles, cars. And for us it's a challenge because then okay, we're designing for Asian market, which is different, like culture and different
standards.
And I never lived there, so that's nice because we talk with our colleagues there and they tell us how is the you know, know-how and the thing like to design for Asia market. And yeah, here in Europe also from some vehicle, the fact we're designing here for Europe also can be like sold here in Europe for like three-wheelers and in the European market, so they have to be designed in Europe also for these different rules. And
so when you mean like that they need to be designed in a European way, it means that there is stricter laws here or like different laws here in Europe that needs to be passed when you are producing a car that needs will be accepted in the European market? Or
yeah, the law, just the law differences for passing test. And also I have to say in Asia they like the European design in general because they really see how we design here in Europe, the quality we put in the products, so they take inspiration from that because they want to learn also to follow this path, because we have inspiration around in Europe, and I think this is one thing is important to follow you know, from architecture, Asian stuff in Europe, and we transfer this into the design and into the work in general, like. And for Asian market, this is important because they take a look as a reference, European cars, to get close to the quality and also try for them to learn from us this this stuff, which is nice.
Is there a design team in Asia, or you are the design team and then the communication it's with an engineering team in there? Like, is there designers in Asia right now?
Or? Yeah, there's like the main design in Europe, but also we have a few designers there in the together with the engineers, and the production is the site. They are all together in the site of the production factory, and yeah, so we talk constantly every day, you know. So for then get in, you know, in touch and like back and forth with the projects. And but yeah, we have the team there and we constantly talk for developing the projects to going in the work in progress.
How do you deal with the time difference?
Yeah, that's also because maybe we have you know, in the week we have our task, and for yeah, that's we have to plan. If we are in the morning here, it's already afternoon. Like that's the thing, we in the morning we start, so we have also kind of pretty fast communicate, because then maybe they be finishing working and we start working. So we find a way, because then we have already the task to do for the week, and maybe all the information we need to ask them we will communicate immediately, and then during the week we have the feedbacks. And of course we arrive on Friday to also deliver our project, which is our work in progress, you know, like just
so we have delivery systems every week, like say like this, like you kind of compromise to suit something during 1 week, and then in Friday you present it as a most still as a work in progress and something that will be iterated on top of it, etc., etc. But every week you need to present something
to show how was the week, the progress was, and then it's nice because in this way we will train them to see the, let's say, our European design way, you know, to design things, because also maybe they have different ways sometimes to design, and we show how the process is like in Europe, which is now globally kind of be similar to also other countries. But yeah, to show at the time we need for doing things in 3D and also for progressing. But of course, I like this back and forth, but because every time we got new things to new challenge, I have to say, because then you have to change your design based on the engineering, or they change the engineering based on design sometimes. So this is interesting, cool. You know, this is interesting.
That's nice. What's your day like, your normal day, like when you arrive to the office, what do you do, like how is a normal day of an automotive designer, like in the company, of course, the company.
Well, arriving to the office like in the morning and before coffee, Fred espresso,
Greece, of course, like
you always. Know, here is a special coffee with ice, and
it lasts 6 hours and a half.
Yes, and I wake up after this coffee because really powerful the caffeine.
Sugar. Sugar, mainly sugar, sugar, then caffeine.
I take without.
Schedule, okay. Schedule. Nice.
And we start in. Then we, with our project we have, of course, and day by day we developing our concept. If you are in this early stage of the project, is the concept part, and then we move through the more like 3D parts, and then see the compromise with the technical parts, until we arrive in, let's say, in the end of the stage of the project, which is like to deliver and see the result. Maybe we make some prototypes in our office in 3D printing, or they will do it in China, like where we working with, and they show us maybe some sample for like in the choosing of the colors as well. And it actually is, thinking about it, like in the end you say weekly, but it's also long, because in the end is you don't finish like a vehicle in 1 week, but it's delay in weeks, let's say, and step by step you build up from an idea to arrive from the final design, and which is interesting, is the process that we like in automotive industry use today, you know, like for it's nice to see what you think in hand sketching or like 3D sketch to see in the result. So we arrive.
How many people can be working in a single car at the same time design wise?
Okay, well, it could be, let's say, sometimes also can be the whole team involved, because depends how much the project it's. If it's a new vehicle, in the beginning, everybody can start to make some ideas, you know, like.
So the conceptualization part goes like in the idea of like everyone starts drawing, sketching how this could look like, the parameters that they give us to, like, briefing wise, like. We have something in there, and it should be in these parameters. And there is like, these are the requirements that we need to fulfill. And everyone goes like free, in the sense of like they can do whatever they want. And then you bring the ideas together, and then they start conceptualizing for that. How does the from the briefing that the company is giving you, like, let's do a three-wheeler for agriculture, like, perspective. How do you design process-wise?
Yeah, so it's pretty diverse, but in the first conceptual part, it's like free, let's say. You, in the company, they ask, like, give us your vision, let's say. So everybody of us do a research, like, by ourselves, and see what we can create, you know, because it's the first part is the most creative one, that you look for everything, all the inspiration you have surround you, and find some solution based on also a basic requirements, which is maybe a basic engineering limits, like packaging. And then you just propose, like, even in like let's see the direction in the future could be that. Everybody of us a proposal, and then it'll be a selection, because it's nice to see a diversity, because, you know, everybody of us have a different way to illustrate, to design, but it's good, because in a team everybody has something cool in the design, even in the beginning, because you have the thought, you know, which is okay, I focused to my inspiration was that because in maybe in the future I think this design could, you know, could be like optimized, and everybody has something different every time, which is interesting to take everything from everybody and then arrive to one proposal or one vehicles like in the for the production of course. Yes. And then we work everybody also for maybe one product. Maybe there is interior to do and we divide it, you know, exchange files and to build products like all of it with the team.
Right now, like industry wise, are you seeing a big difference between what you're doing here right now and what you were doing in Italy?
And I see from the having more experience, I see a difference because I learn more stuff here as well now. It's more technical, and also in the design, I really do design now because I have to find a solution that they have to work for the market. Of course, I have to say maybe previously in Italy where kind of see my direction to go because I know switching automotive,
more apprenticeship transportation, or whatever. Yeah, okay.
See what the industry like. I find more experience after I did this kind of switches in a different field, and I see that in automotive I kind of got the you know the this knowledge that now I'm still like building it for getting better and learning stuff in the, and also going together with the software we're using because then you every time in the design you have new softwares and tools that you can use for improve and get faster like timing in the design. It's really interesting that every year maybe we the methods could change a bit like for you know, maybe to illustrate your idea and even to design. And every time there's something new that you can take and use for the work. It's evolving continuously.
Yeah, makes sense. Software-wise, what are you using right now?
Now the software are like, it's starting from the 2D, like, okay, Photoshop, like you can do some illustration. Moving to 3D Blender, like for making some shapes, rhinoceros to go maybe more technical. We have also in the industry use Alias for then making the more like precise surfacing.
Surface design.
Thinking about even like in our like in this industry also now they are starting. We don't yet, but actually it'll be like some AI generating thing that sometimes it's crazy that you can generate something with the AI, but still like early and maybe VR as well. We have this virtual reality, so you can see the interiors, the vehicles from inside, and new tools are coming now in the industry. It's really interesting. What it can be in the future, like maybe it could change even the way we are thinking. Definitely. But in the end, you have something to transfer from your mind, from your
The creativity comes from you, you know, at the end, like somehow.
Exactly. So, yeah,
that's nice. So, to start closing the episode, any tips that you would give to someone who's trying to become an automotive designer, like right now, like what would you recommend to someone who is starting their university degree, for example, on and having the idea of becoming a designer
in the industry. It's important in this industry, like okay, I have a passion for vehicles, it's good, okay, it's like a product, let's call it a product, because in the end you design like a really complex products in the end, and but it's important in the process that you think about what is surrounded in like in the environment. So where you take inspiration for design a vehicle, and because the more you have knowledge for other stuff, you can implement it in your design and in what is the design call for that to find solution. So and finding solution means that then you find also like creative way in the field to see the functionality of the vehicle.
Okay.
So you take inspiration from architecture, from nature, from whatever you surrounds you, and we got inspired from that, because you think about, we see stuff, we study stuff, and we translate it in a concept, like in design, in a vehicle, let's say. Mm. Everything can be used for your inspiration and to jump in. If you are creative, you will see that you take some paper and create a car, let's say, with your hand, or even like everything you create with your mind and your creativity is already like a design process we do. So, and it's the industry of design of automotive and that. Yeah.
Yes. So let's do a little bit of this and that questions again.
Okay. Yeah.
Fiat or Piaggio?
Fiat Piaggio. Piaggio. Piaggio because I'm a quiet person, so motorcycle, you know, the Vespa.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I'm in Italy, I'm in Rome, in behind the Colosseum, driving the Vespa. So this is really myself.
Like the iconic, like iconic person.
Iconic
okay.
person, you know.
Nice. Piaggio or Ducati?
Piaggio Ducati, I will stay in Piaggio. By the way, Ducati is a really powerful motorcycle, but I'm still riding my Vespa in the city center. So I want
the quiet.
I go quiet. And I go to the beach, you know, with the Vespa.
Nice. Round or square designs of cars?
Well, I have to say in this case round design because. It's harmonious, you know. Think about the sculpture, the volume. Roundiness always connected to also something harmonious, sexy, volumetric. And sometimes also it's more difficult. If you see in the cars, it's maybe more difficult to create like a really roundy shape. And but then you feel it because you have the volume. You have something to build on top with the volume, you see the sculpture and all the proportion you have in the vehicles. To me, the roundiness in the vintage cars also, there's many old cars, they are like timeless also because maybe they have this proportion with the softness, like roundiness, which is never like get old, you know, I have to say.
Motors from the north of Europe or from the south Europe? The power of Germany versus the rest of Europe.
Oh, there, yeah, different size. I have to say from the south Europe, the direction is more to family feeling. Brands like in like Mediterranean, like southern Europe is more that, you know, imagine a car built for, you know, lifestyle, you know, which is, was really like a thing, you know. And of course, even the north, like German, if I take an example, you see the quality there, you see technology. Now, okay, I see maybe for the vehicles, is everything merging together. But I have to say the functionality of a family car is... it's me, you know, bringing sports stuff, nice. Bicycle, carrying stuff on the car.
So probably in the same direction, sports cars or utility cars?
Utility car, let's
okay.
go.
The like. Same, no, like, okay. I can see. Oof, Seat or Fiat?
Seat or Fiat, okay. Seat, I have to say, through the years, the Seat did a really nice improvement and step by step in years, I see really nice shapes going out from the design perspective, but also, you know, compared to Fiat, we have some models, they iconic, Cinquecento, yeah. Let's say. Seat went out with also new design, like in following also the roots, but having like new shapes and more interesting. Like I see really like Cupra as well. There's like a new design there, and it's amazing. If the quality also and the interior, the colors feels like really, really like interesting compared like to Fiat. I have to say, like in the design aspect, or even to as a customer, I have to say.
Okay, talking about Cupra, electric or gasoline cars?
Ah, okay. I go for electric. I am, I want to see in the future what we can do with it, because electric, it can allow us to use or go for a disruptive, let's say, design. We can imagine the vehicles from zero almost, because the platform maybe is different. We can have space for change the architecture of the vehicle.
So you don't need the same kind of components of from a traditional car.
Yes, let's call it like exactly. You have less components, and also you are used to see the car with a front there, the central cabin in the back, safety reason. But also we can imagine to having like a different way architecture, maybe even more space for people inside, because in the end we spend a lot of time inside the vehicles compared to outside. So having like kind of a home, like in the car with electric, it could be possible.
Because it takes less space than motor, or because the electric system takes less space, or because of...
Yeah, the electric takes less space, and it's set on the like a platform. So
You can use like the motherboard of the electric car in a horizontal space, while the gas engines are more bulky or more like...
The engine is a bit more bulky, taking space there, but maybe also the possibility to also in the electric to say we have a new engine, new like propeller, let's say engine, which is electricity. Let's try maybe to thinking about optimize the space, maybe switching the position of, because you think about the engine, okay, in the car we know the engine is a big piece somewhere,
but the body,
the battery, you can say I put the module vertically, horizontally, divided in the chassis. I don't know.
Yeah.
So can like maybe restructure it a bit, but let's see. I mean, it takes time now, and still like no company investing on that. And I'm like, I see like what can happen in the future, of course.
Nice. Designing by sketching by hand or in 3D?
Okay. To me, I always start with hand sketching, because I'm maybe directly on the paper, and I'm like with my fresh mind, my hands go like on the paper and sketch, and it's the first approach I do. But of course, today it's also good enough to the software we have to go directly on 3D as well, so you can sketch in three dimension, and this is a different approach. But still, you kind of hand sketching, but with a different tools. So let's say I call the pencil is a tool, on paper, like my hands on the paper, like with pencil. But even like 3D is like you can barely sketching, designing, and the 3Ds like in three dimension. So I prefer like paper now, just because maybe I like arts and also artistic backgrounds, and you like go for something.
Then you can always base a 3D on a sketch. The other way around, it's very different. Like it's nearly never happening. Like when you are in the 3D approach, you never go back to sketching things. When you're in the sketching things, you always are able of like go back and forth until something is cool enough to transform it into a 3D, you know? I think that's...
Yeah, exactly. Then in the process, you'd go back and forth. But I like the feeling, let's do some lines, something pencil like on the style, paper. And then, of course, I immediately maybe go for something on the computers like that. It's
nice.
See the limits and what you can, make it better for outline we have. So...
So let's do a couple of questions more and then we close the episode. Ferrari or Lamborghini?
Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Because the color, is red, so
Lamborghini doesn't have a color,
No, but yeah, I have to see being a quiet person, the Ferrari.
Yeah, it's Lamborghini elegant,
it's aggressive, but I mean, it's, yeah, also there is nice because they are two sport cars, but also the different way of
they're
approach of
they're
design,
really different, like
really different. You can, you know, maybe you go for a Lamborghini or Ferrari. I mean, it's really diverse, the style as well. And but I mean, actually, if I imagine myself like trying a Ferrari, I see like, I don't know, like a elegant Ferrari or of course, then it's red, so the color like
fits
the Ferrari red, you know, like kind of Formula One, you know.
Okay, last question, and we will leave the episode here. Designing interiors or exteriors of cars?
Okay. I like interior a lot. This is why the interior have a lot of components, I have to say, mm-hmm. with a lot of material. Nowadays, maybe you have a really diversity of material inside, and I like to spend more time to researching what you can provide in an interior of the car, because the user will stay inside the car like a lot
most of the time.
So it's now really important to think about the inside of the vehicle, you know, thinking about also in a house. You live inside the house and you build your comfortable place, right? So we like to having everything is like easy to reach, to have, to be like, feel like you are home. So nice. Yeah, the interiors I find more interesting for that.
Sounds good. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
For me, there is something that it's always like been there, no? Like the cars, we still pay a lot of attention onto the exterior of cars. And that's because we see them, like, because it's what it provides you the first sale point. You never know the interior of a car until you try to buy it most of the times. It's the opposite of houses. Like, of course, you care a bit about how this house look outside, but the most important is where you will be spending the time, which is the interior at the end. And that's where it arrives.
True. Thinking about cars are moving. If the houses were moving, maybe also we'll take a look outside.
On the outside
of the house.
Of the houses. No, you do. You do. Like, you really do architecturally wise check the houses. Like, but even if your house was designed by Gaudi outside, amazing architectural, like modernist thingy in Barcelona, central Barcelona thingy. If the interior looks like shit and you're spending most of your day inside of that place, not looking the facade of your building, you don't give a shit because your place inside, it still looks like shit. So it's a different conception, no? Like, I think also, like, especially with cars, there is also this perception of, like, you need to show to others, which your car is, like,
it's an extension
showing off,
of the
you know,
human,
like,
it's an extension
exactly.
of ourselves.
Yeah,
like,
definitely. Well, with that crazy reflection on how if houses should move or not.
Maybe in the future.
Gabriel, thank you so much for accepting and joining our podcast today and explaining all these stories and helping hopefully someone who wants to learn about automotive design.
Yeah. Thank you for having me here in the podcast. And I'm really excited also that we, you know, we met here in Athens, you know, for the Impro Theater, but you know, it's like a good having good friends around the city. It's really nice, you know, in Athens and see, you know, like just 2 years here in Greece, then you know, we'll see in the future how it goes.
It's a nice city. Thank you so much for listening to everyone who is in the other side of the camera. Thank you again, Gabriel, for so much.
This is Expat Experts. Support this podcast by listening us in Podomo and subscribe in Spotify and YouTube.